Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans and the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries. I am so delighted tonight to be back on our radio broadcast on this evening. I just thank and praise God tonight for another opportunity to study the Word of God. Hallelujah. We're going to get ready to have a short devotion part of the service. We're going to have a hymn, a scripture, and a prayer, and we'll get started. Amen. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Bless me now, my Savior. Lord, I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 49. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline my ear to a parable. I will open my dark sayings upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the day of evil, when the iniquities of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitudes of their riches, none of them can buy. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise man die. Likewise, the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thoughts is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their land after their own names. Nevertheless, man being honored abided not. He is like the beast that perish. This, their way is their verity, approve their sins. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and their upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. I have just read you from Psalms 49, the first 14 verses. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come on tonight humbly before your throne of grace, asking you now, Lord, to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We come tonight, Father, if we've offended anyone, Lord, if we've caused anyone to stumble, if we hurt anyone, Lord, we ask your forgiveness tonight. We ask you tonight to search our hearts, our minds, and our spirit if there is anything, Lord, in there that should not be. Father, we ask you now to remove it right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you to create in us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come on tonight just thanking and praising you for another opportunity, Lord, to study your word tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to let me decrease 100%, that the Holy Ghost may increase 100%, and teach your people, Lord, and minister to your people on tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just give you praise, hallelujah, and I give you glory. I just thank you for everyone that you brought in radio land and those that's on our radio broadcast. I give you praise tonight, and I give you glory on tonight. Lord, I just thank you tonight for your perfect word, Lord. I thank you for your righteousness. I thank you tonight for your kindness. I thank you for your patience, Lord. I just thank you on tonight for being God and God all by yourself. I thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy tonight. In the name of Jesus, I give you praise and I give you glory, Lord. I ask you to cover our minds and our thoughts, Lord. Open up our understanding so we can get the right interpretation of your word on tonight. Lord, we just thank you. Hallelujah. We give you praise and we give you glory. We thank you. We ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, I ask you to bind up the strong man on tonight. Oh, yes, Lord, every evil and negative thing, every wicked thing, Lord. I ask you to bind up every demonic thing, Lord, from this radio broadcast and everyone that's on it and listening to it. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen and amen. Amen. Tonight we're going to start. I don't really know what we left out. But we're going to start. We're going to talk. We're talking about tonight. Can Christians and do they have demons? Can and do Christians have demons? Can and do Christians have demons? I thank and praise God tonight because he wants to teach us. See, if we don't know nothing, if we don't know anything, we'll never be able to get help and deliverance for ourselves. But we need to know. We need to know if Christians or believers can have demons. Spirit-filled Christians and demons, can they have? Me and Christians and believers, can they have demons? Again, from last week, because this is a continuation from last week, again, I tell you, yes, Christians and believers can have demons. It's dangerous, a dangerous delusion to think that Satan or the demons of any kind got a hands off of you because you just was filled with the Holy Ghost or whatever. They still try to attack you. They still come against you. They still do what they have to do. No, I feel like they go even deeper. And we have to know that Christians and believers can have demons. And when you think you can't, that's when they got you because you don't pay attention. You don't pay attention. It's so easy. It's easy if you're not watching out, if you don't have discernment, if you're not thinking about if you're not thinking about what's going on or how you do things or how you say things or what you're thinking about or what you're lusting after and what you're fantasizing and all this kind of stuff, it opened the door for demons to enter right in. If you sitting up assuming, I think, honey, she think this and she think that. It's just open doors. It opens the door for stupid stuff. You can say this and you can say that, and I pray God every day that I don't do that. I try my best not to do that. And sometimes I catch myself thinking wrong. I catch myself. You know, you have to always, even if you start thinking, you repent, ask God to forgive you. Because we're not supposed to think negative. We're supposed to think positive. What can we gain by thinking negative? I just don't know. What can we do thinking negative? None of that will help us. None of it. And we have to, believe me, we have to keep ourselves in shape to think a positive, stay on a positive tone. Jesus, okay, in Matthew 16:22, Peter rebuked him, saying, "Be it far from the Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Another translation renders this as, "Lord, have pity on yourself." Thus, Peter was attempting to correct Jesus to create self-pity, which is demonic. Evil spirits will drive us to feel sorry for ourselves in our situations. No, that's not what this is. These are things that can let the enemy in. You cannot have that kind of stuff. I bind and rebuke that stuff all the time. I renounce it all the time. Self-rejection, all kind of stuff, because that kind of stuff opened the door. That kind of stuff opened and released demons. You cannot do that. Thus, Peter became an instrument of the devil. In verse 23, Jesus rebuked Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He discerned Satan speaking through his follower, trying to dissuade him from the cross. His leading disciple was being used by the devil in attempt to interfere with God's plan. Peter became an instrument in Satan's hand. This alerts us that even very strong believers can become demonized. I'm telling you. Jesus answered them. He answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you are the devil?" That's in John 6:7. These are examples. These men was right there with Jesus. They were right there with Jesus. So if they can have a demon, what about us? The word is explicit. Not once has a devil, demon, but one is a demon. From the beginning, Jesus knew Judas Iscariot was Satan's tool to betray him. He knew that. Tragically, he was called out and had perfect teaching, prevailed with an outstanding group of men, but was not changed by the experience. Through Judas, Satan infiltrated the ranks of those close to Jesus. It still happens today. It does. Jesus is a perfect example. Judas is a perfect example of unregenerated persons affiliated with the church. They are starched and iron, but have never been washed. Ah, glory to God. With a perfect leader and teacher, 1 in 12, was so thoroughly demonized
that he was said to be a demon himself. When I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. And he was talking about Judas, excuse me. He was talking about Judas then, the son of prediction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. That's in John chapter 17, verse 12. Strangely enough, the Antichrist is the only other person in the Bible who is designated as the son of prediction. It is recorded that Satan's personality entered into Judas in Luke 22, verse 3, and in John chapter 13, verse 2 and 27. As he surrendered to devilish lies, Satan took over completely. It is possible that from this moment on, Judas was sacredly aware of what he was doing. When one yields so completely to the enemy, he loses control over his physical, mental, and emotional faculties. There is no evidence of genuine repentance, only deep remorse. And that's over in Matthew chapter 27, verse 3 through 7. He was sorry, but he didn't repent. Like so many today, he was not sorry for his sin. He just regretted that he got caught. And so that's what that lets you know that he was just in sin. God to give you over to a reprobate mind. Then he began to comprehend his dilemma. Nobody like a traitor. Religious leaders who bribed him wanted nothing to do with him and even refused to return the bribery money. So we talking about Judas here and how he did Jesus. And see, this is what I'm saying. People don't think we can have a demon. But just like Judas, Satan took over Judas when he first got to be a disciple. Even Jesus rebuked it. Peter told Peter to get behind me when he was trying to by divine revelation, Peter had received the truth about Jesus and declared, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus verified that this truth was revealed to Peter by his heavenly Father. The apostle was an instrument in God's hands to clearly state this fundamental doctrine upon which the entire body of truth and the church is built. Shortly after this, Jesus began to share with the disciples about his coming suffering and death. But in Matthew 16 and 22, Peter rebuked him, saying, "Be it far from the Lord. This shall not be unto thee." Another translation renders this as, "Lord, have pity upon yourself." Thus, Peter was attempting to correct Jesus and to create self-pity, which is demonic. You can't feel sorry for yourself like that. And it says, evil spirits would drive us to feel sorry for ourselves or our situation. Thus, Peter became an instrument of the devil. He became an instrument of the devil. So in verse 23, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He discerned Satan speaking through. And so if Peter could have a demon, who do we think we are? Who do we think we are? Peter had a demon. He was one of the top-ranking disciples. And Jesus said it. Nobody made it up. Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," because Satan was using him. Satan was in there using him. Wait just a second. Peter was one of his leading disciples, and he was being used and being tempted by the devil to interfere with God's plan, because Jesus had to go to the cross, and he was just telling him what was going to happen, and here he's trying to say, be it far from thee, Lord. God said, well, Jesus said, wait a minute, don't try to tell me something. And I'm trying to tell you what this got to happen. If this don't happen, you're going to go straight to hell, everybody here, everybody in the world. So Peter became an instrument in Satan's hand. This alert us that even very strong believers can become demonized. See, people don't understand. Then Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? That's insane. In John chapter 6, verses 17, you know, something, because it's all through the Bible that we Christians can and do have demons. Because you can open the door, just like I was saying up here at a little while ago about feeling sorry, that self-pity stuff. I've been trying to pray against that stuff and renounce it, because you're not supposed to have it. You're not. It's just the same thing as you're not supposed to sit up and talk about people and hold grudges and all this kind of stuff. You can't do that, because it opens you up. If you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all. That's what my mama always taught me. That's the best thing. Try to say something good. Even though you can say, well, you know, I seen Sherry and she didn't look too good, but don't talk about her. Don't say bad things about her. Don't even suggest it. Just try to keep a positive. I'm praying for, because I hope God delivers it, so and so and so and so. That's how you have to do that, to keep the enemy from using you to do this. You don't want that. Okay. Though Judas, Satan infiltrated the ranks of those close to Jesus, it still happens today. Judas is a perfect example of ungenerated persons affiliated with the church. Like all of my armor bearers were so close to me, and one none of them really for me. But my daughter and my granddaughter. And one of them really for me. God said that he moved them. He moved them. And even though I love them, and I think about, I was just talking about them on the way back to the house to Apostle. Because I said, I wonder what did I do so wrong that they didn't want to be around me anymore. But, and you know, I started talking to God about it. He said, I did it because they meant you no good. And I moved them, and he moved them. And he won't let me call them. He won't let me, even like I am a church ministry anniversary coming up on the 28th this month. Since they here, some of them here in Michigan, I was going to invite some of them. He said, no, don't call them. Mm-mm. Don't call them, because they wasn't right in the first place. And I had to listen to God. I had to listen to the Holy Spirit. Even though I don't really have anyone but maybe one or two people here, but it's other people. God don't send somebody. I'm not even worried about it. And if it was just us two, it'd be all right still. It'd be just fine. I'm not even worried about that. Okay, it is recorded that Satan personally entered into Judas in Luke chapter 22, verse 3, and John chapter 13, verse 2 and 27. As he surrendered to devilish lies, Satan took over completely. That's what I was saying. It was just like like God turned him over to a reprobated mind because he was studying lying. That's why I tell people, don't do that. Don't lie like that, because when you do, God be he watching. If you can see, it's like this, because nobody's perfect. But if you can stop, if you don't have to lie, don't lie. Don't do it. I'm telling you, because the enemy always try to trip you up anyway, make you lie, have you looking stupid, you have to tell another lie to cover that lie. It's all a game to the enemy. But if you can just stop, because if you can stop as much as possible, that's why when the phone used to ring, and I know it was a bill collector, here I am trying to say, oh, she ain't here. I say, yes, this is Deborah, and I don't have no money. What do you want? I'm not working. What do you want? I can't help you today. Like that. That's the way you have to do it. That is the way you have to do it. So you won't lie. And I try not to put myself in a way to people that I make them lie. I try not to, because it's so easy to do on your own. And when you have a reason to do it, oh, I'm going to call you later, or I'm going to do this later, or I'm going to say this later, just lie. And I try not to have people to do it on account of me. Don't sell me, because it's one thing about it. We have to give in kind of every deed, whether it's good or bad, to the Lord. We got to remember that. We got to remember that. And we don't want to have to stand up there. He started saying, well, why you lie this day? And why you lie that day? And what you was doing, the way you had to lie this day. And she got to turn you on to a reprobate man. I'm telling you, all these people out here study repenting on this Facebook, talking about Jesus and sleeping with men, sleeping with women. Just a mess. It's just almost like Sodom and Gomorrah. They need to stop. And then they want to put, I don't say that God don't love them, because God loves everybody. But let me tell you something. God is not in that stuff. He's not in that. And when he have his way, because it will follow you to the grave, just like, you know, if you was a drug dealer, ain't what good can come out of you dealing drugs and selling drugs? Nothing but jail or death. You can't win. So that's what I'm saying. I'll just use that to say that's how it is. When you're doing this kind of stuff, you can't win. You can't win. It's either death, or jail, or sickness, or, you know, just, and it's sad. It's sad because we all have somebody that's in it like that. And all we need to be praying for them, that God deliver them. Some of them already been turned over to a reprobate man. And God said, I'm not going to hear your prayer. You can pray all you want to, but I'm going to pray anyway until you tell me to stop. I'm going to still pray for them. Because they're all going through something, and we all going through something. Yes, we are. We all, I don't care what it is, we're going through something. But the closer you try your best to stay with God, and if you can be by yourself most of the time, and be by yourself. Think on these things. See, when we by ourselves, we feel like we have a idle mind, but we don't, because God give us things to think on to keep from getting an idle mind. Whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is right, and all that. That's what we're supposed to think on. He said, think on these things. That's what we have to think on. But we're going to get back to this. Christians can and do have demons. They can. And even the baptized Holy Ghost feel all this, they can have demons. they do, you know, and they can. Will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them and destroy them as Elisha did? That's Luke chapter 9, verse 54. Jesus rebuked them, saying, ye know not what manner of spirit you are of. They were unaware that evil spirits of hatred and revenge were directing them to retaliate and get even angrier and frustrated. They were talking about here in Luke 9 and 55, Jesus sent the disciples ahead to arrange for lodging and food in Samaria city. Racial animosity flared up, and the Samaritans refused to receive them. The insensitive disciples came back to the Lord and offered to call fire down from heaven to consume the hostile villages. But Jesus was saying, that thou will command fire to come down from heaven and consume them and destroy them as Elijah did. Jesus rebuked them, saying, now what spirit is that? You can ask people that, because a lot of times when they talking to you or they trying to give you advice, you have to be careful who you receive wise counsel from. You have to be careful, because there's so many trickery stuff out here. It sounds good to itchy ears, but it ain't no good. It's not good. So we have to really, really, really pray for discernment, deep discernment, because God will give it to you. Oh, yes, he will give it to you. So we have to pray for discernment. Mm-hmm. That's I was talking to the apostle today about having that discernment, because if I'd had it, it's a lot of stuff that I went through I wouldn't have had to go through if I had my discernment was good. But I was so off of focus. I wasn't even thinking. I put my trust into a lot of different people, and I shouldn't have. But, honey, let me tell you something. I learned from my experience. I don't care if I don't have not one armor bearer, which I do have one. I don't care if I don't have them, because if God don't send you, I don't need you. If God don't send you. But I need the ones that God sends so they can stay and they can be right there and keep praying for me. The ones that let money rule them and they turn here and there and here and there, that's all up to them, because they truly got to give an account of what they do. They really do. So I thank and praise God for my daughter, for my granddaughter. God didn't take them away from the ministry. I think my daughter left for a little while, but she came back. So it wasn't nobody but God that take everybody else except for Prophetess Rome, Renee, and Joanne. And Prophetess GD is still here. So, you know, I thank and praise God for that. I really do. Because I've always had at least 8 to 10 women or more. So, and I felt like I was saying, Lord, I'm by myself. It seemed like, you know, but God, he know. He said, try the spirit by the spirit. We have to be careful. And you can't tell your business to anybody. You cannot put your confidence in everybody you can. You have to get wise counsel. I mean, somebody that loves the Lord. And then if you wrong, they're not going to say, oh, it's okay. No, it's not okay. And don't you do this and do this and do this. It's not okay. You got to have somebody to tell you the truth. That's the only way you're going to be helped. It's the truth will set you free. But you don't want nobody that's infiltrated with demons giving you wise counsel, because the devil can use them and tell them to tell you anything. But you have to be careful. Try the spirit by the spirit. And you God will show you. But Jesus rebuked them, saying, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of." They were unaware that evil spirits of hatred and revenge were directing them to retaliate and get even. Angry and frustrated, they wanted swift judgment upon those who had offended them. When we give away to desire to get even, we open ourselves to wicked anger and resentment. And believe me, I done got so frustrated and angry just driving. Just driving, but these are the kind of things you have to be careful of. And we all go through that kind of stuff, but we all have to go to God and say, "Please forgive me and deliver me from these things." You know, we got to, because we get frustrated. The word of God said angry, but sin not, Jesus said it. So we're not supposed to let it go on to be a sin, because that's when the enemy come in and try to mess us up. We got to know that. But it's so many people get frustrated, road rage, killer, getting out, shooting people. Just, whoop. Yeah. It leads to sin and death. That's what it leads to, these evil spirits. Because I remember when in the other house, I just was all messed up and confused. And I called Prophet Sherrod. She said, "Yes, sister, it is an evil spirit. I see him." I knew it was something. But they try to always torment me because I pray for people. So, I done got past that stuff now. I get back on them, honey. I so do fight them back in the Holy Ghost. But note that Jesus told them that they did not know that demons were manifesting through them, because they were speaking and acting under demonic influences and direction. The Lord was forced to check them. See, they didn't know it. A lot of times you don't know it. But when you get frustrated, you say things out of character. The doggone demons have you going out of character, and you ain't like that. When such feelings flood, in because someone has hurt or disappointed us, we tend to react angrily and defensively. And I got that bad, because I mean, I don't try to cuss people, but I'll tell you how it is. And I got to change that atmosphere, my character, when I'm telling people, because I can tell you in a good way and I can tell you in the most bad way. Not cussing anything, but I have to learn how to have my words to not offend anyone, because I pray for God to forgive me if I've offended anyone every day, sometimes 3 and 4 times a day. But if you upset about something and you trying to respond to somebody and you do it just in a malicious way or say it in a frustrated, angry way, that's not good. You're supposed to keep your composure, depend on God to help you, you know, and he will. He sure will. When such feelings flood in because someone has hurt or disappointed us, we tend to react angrily and defensively. Instead, we need to examine carefully to see what is actually taking place and move into binding and loosing spirits. That's what we have to do. We have to bind those demons and loose ourselves from them. You may hear me say, "I bind you now and I loose myself." Hallelujah. I bind you and I loose myself from these spirits. After the pouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, a spirit of generosity swept through the body of believers. That's in Acts chapter 5. People sold possessions and liquidated assets. They brought their proceeds to the apostles' feet to be dispersed and manage. It was a ministry to poor and needy people in the church body. Ananias and his wife were believers who sold something belonging to them. Because they received more for it than expected, they decided to say it brought in less. The gift was given to Peter and declared to be the entire amount, but it wasn't. And believe me, by revelation, Peter asked the man why Satan had filled his heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the money. He had attempted deception with the Holy Spirit in order to make religious show. Peter asked him bluntly, why has Satan filled thy heart? Acts 5 and 3. Ananias and Sapphira's hearts had yielded to seducing evil spirits who persuaded them to lie, because you can neither deceive nor lie to God. The couple was smitten and died the same day. They failed to repent and confess their sins of covetousness. If God did this today, as a matter of course, many churches would be decimated, and they would. They would, because it's so many people. You know, that's in the Word of God where the people are supposed to tie this off and get apostles and take care of the apostles and stuff. And they don't, but they're supposed to, and a lot of them do keep some of the money, and they don't do what they're supposed to do, and that ain't nothing but the trick of the enemy, because the more you can never be God-given ever, the more you give, the more God gonna give to you. The more you give, the more God gonna give to you. So we have to always remember that. And I try my best, hallelujah, to always think, you know, always keep it in mind. If I have anything, when I was working, I could give. It didn't make me no difference. I know we had a big house note. Our rent was $1,750 a month. We had a lot of bills at that time, but I still gave. I still did what I had to do, even though it was money that my husband said, well, you just have it spent on you. I spent on somebody else. I help somebody that needs some food. I help somebody that the lights going to get cut off. However God put on my heart, you know, I did what I had to do, and I thank God that he was able me to do it. But when I go back to work, I will be doing it again. It don't make me no different, because all money belongs to God. Good or bad money, still all belong to God. Everything on this in this world belongs to God on earth. It belongs to God. But I want to keep that still in my heart to always try to give more and give more. The more you give, the more God gives to you. But let me see where we are. But we was talking about Ananias and Sapphira, how they lied to the Holy Ghost. But it says, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide near or awaiting me. The Holy Spirit had not bound Paul's spirit, but he was impelled to go on to Jerusalem, overruling every warning. He knew that going to Jerusalem meant he would suffer bonds and affliction. They sailed to Tyrus to stay at a week. Disciples received prophecies warning them that there was very real danger awaiting Paul in Jerusalem. They still went. The veteran warrior Paul was no stranger to suffering for Christ. As they tarried in Caesarea many days, a Judean prophet, Agabus, took Paul's girdle. After binding his own feet and hands, he said, thus said the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him unto the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. But Paul, companions, and the members of Caesarea church all pleaded with him not to go to Jerusalem. His answer, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not, he shouldn't have went, because you have to listen to the prophecy of God. You have to listen to what God, he sends prophets and people to warn you of things. I think you should listen, even though he wasn't a stranger to suffering, you know, but you still have to take wise counsel, because some things you don't have to go through if you would listen to wise counsel. Okay, having set his course, he refused to deviate from it. Some feel that in this instance, he may have been bound by an evil spirit. That's what they were thinking. However, Paul had a good track record, and perhaps he pushed on, knowing and accepting the danger his friends so feared of. This is exactly what Jesus did. He set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem, chapter 9 and 51. Paul was received gladly and cordially by James and all of the Jerusalem elders. For 30 years, Paul had attacked legalism and all kind of Jewish beliefs and traditions, correctly teaching that Jesus was the only sacrifice for sins. Lies had been scattered that Paul was preaching against the temple. That's how they do. That's a spirit. And the law, therefore, they advised him to shave his head, go into the temple and offer sacrifices, to pretend adherence to these things now would seem to be compromised. However, Paul evidently felt no check in his own spirit about it. Doubtly, he felt that, like Timothy's circumcision in Acts 16:3, it was not necessary but merely expedient. Perhaps he was operating in the same rationale he indicted or indicated when he said that he was willing to become all things to all men, that by this he might save one. Later he writes, for it I build up and I build again the things which I destroy. I make myself a transgressor. But see, we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention to what we're doing, like I was telling y'all last week. The way that you know if a spirit is trying to enter and stuff, it's like if you pray all the time and you keep on skipping prayer and you keep making excuses for prayer that you don't want to pray, then that's how you can tell. When you don't feel like studying and you don't feel like doing nothing but laying around and you're snapping people up and you're doing this and doing that, God ain't pleased with that. And that's not of God. God is not like that. Mm-hmm. And then I can tell every time when it's messing with me, trying to attack me a lot. A lot of times when I teach these things, they try to attack me. But they know I ain't scared of them, because the blood of Jesus covers me. So I'm not afraid. I'm covered by Jesus. Okay. And another way is that was Paul and Peter and Judas. They was all infiltrated. Satan, the spirit of Satan had infiltrated all of them. But that goes to show you they were disciples and then later turned into apostles. So if they can have demons, Satan ain't got no hands off of us. But we have to keep pressing. We have to keep reading. We have to keep studying. We have to keep loving. We have to keep doing what God has called us to do. We can't stop like this. And Satan know he got you when he feel like, when he know that you feel like you can't be, you can't have no spirit or no demon. And he feel like, well, I got her already, or I got him already, so I ain't got to worry about it, because he don't believe in that, he that we can infiltrate them. So that'll make us or allow us to do it even the more, because they feel like we can't. But, honey, let me tell you something. You can. And most of us, a lot of us do have demons. You can, and most, but don't get it twisted, and you can be delivered from it. Just like even me, I can be delivered from it. Honey, I'll be binding and loosing out, and a whole lot of times you have to renounce those spirits. Every day I try to renounce the spirit of hatred. That I renounce the spirit of anger. I renounce the spirit of bitterness. That's why y'all hear me saying that stuff. Because you have to renounce that stuff and get it away from you, you know, and ask God to send that stuff back to the pits of hell. I make it a habit every time I pray to renounce those spirits, those evil spirits. Mm-hmm. And some of them come with curses and all kind of stuff, all kind of stuff. I be looking at TV and I know I be boring y'all and saying the same stuff, but I'm really trying to make sure that you don't let these demons in, because I be listening to all kind of stuff on TV, all kind of stuff on television. But I have to, show enough, watch myself, because every other commercial, somebody laying on top of somebody, somebody half naked, somebody this and somebody that. No. Mm-mm. When I tell you, God is watching everything. He's watching everything. Every little thing we do, God's watching. Yes, he is. And we have to be careful. We have to show enough, be careful. Excuse me. Excuse me. I'm trying to clear my throat. Just give me a minute here. Mm-hmm. So, wait just one second. I have to get my phone right. Oh, I just been talking and this thing been on mute. Lord, have mercy. I just looked down. Y'all forgive me, but I'm saying, I said when Prophetess Harris was on here, I was trying to tell her that, you know, we could have demons, and she said, you're not going to tell me that, honey, and I'm Christian, I'm fire baptized, I'm this, I'm that, and I can have a demon. She said, I don't believe that, and I'm not going to accept that. So that's why demons can take you over completely, because you don't believe that you can have a demon, and so you don't pray against that stuff, and you don't ask anyone else to pray against it. So when you don't pray against it and renounce those spirits and all that kind of stuff, they get even more. They bring seven more, and that one brings seven more. And then you end up with so many demons and spirits and stuff in you, it'd be ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, because can't nobody tell you nothing. Can't nobody do nothing for you. Mm-mm. So you just have to know and believe the word of God. If Paul had demons and Peter had demons, and Judas was the Satan himself, used Judas. Even Satan tried to tempt God, Jesus on this 40-day fast. He was trying to tempt Jesus to turn those bricks into stones and all this kind of stuff. And he said, and Jesus told him to get behind him. So these spirits are real, and you have to keep a word on your heart. You have to know that you got God, you got Jesus. He sent the Holy Ghost, and the thing that can defeat the enemy, defeat these spirits, is the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. The name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And every day, you all renounce those things. I renounce them every day. I don't care what it is, whatever kind of spirit I think it is, and I got a list of spirits that you all need to start renouncing those things. It helps you so much, and after a while, you don't even have to look at no paper. They just come natural. You know, just like Peter was trying to get Jesus to have that self-pity. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You know this got to happen, and you trying to get me to feel sorry for what I got to do or my situation. The devil is a liar. No, the devil is a liar because that's a spirit, because God is always with us. Jesus always with us. He redeemed us. He's always with us, and whatever we're going through, he's right there. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's right there. So don't let that happen. You know, you rebuke the enemy, and whatever mess it is, God know what you're in. He's going to help you out. If he took you to it, he's going to take you through it when he gets in his family. So I just thank and praise you all, praise God for you all tonight, those in radio land and those on the radio broadcast. I'm not going to hold you any longer. I thank and praise God for each one of y'all. I thank God for everyone under the sound of my voice, and I ask God to bless everyone under the sound of my voice in their families. So we're going to get ready to close out and thank and praise God for another great studying the Word, studying God's Word on tonight. Can and do demons mean Christians and believers have demons? Amen. So we got a little touch of this. So next week we'll start on something else. But I will see you all right back here on Sunday, which is Easter Sunday. If you can, it's fine. If you can, I'll be still on there by the grace of God. Amen. So we thank and praise God on today. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you for your word. Thank you for keeping us all on one accord. Father, we love you. We grateful to you. We grateful for your mercy and grace. In the name of Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Thank God. I love you and God love you too. You all have the rest of a good Sabbath, the rest of the night. God bless you. Love you. Have a good day.